The same reality described by the Upanishads, rishis of Upanishads, who were different lot of people, much later than the Vedic rishis. They also examined God, they also experienced God, and they also came to the conclusion, Satchidananda, the reality is pure existence, conscious being and delight. They also describe reality as Tat Sat, just as the Vedas spoke of Sat. The Upanishad also describes it as Tat Sat. So that to describe him as Satchidananda is also to bring him down on a lower plane. It is as it were we are bringing him down at a level at which we can understand him. Because we understand concreteness, we understand consciousness, we understand delight. Therefore, we describe as the highest terms, in the terms which we understand, we describe him as Satchidananda. But in itself, if you ask, what is it in itself? The answer of Upanishad is, it is Tat Sat. It is that. You can't even define it. You can get the most, if you want to use mathematically, you can say it is X. Or as Supreme very often says, it is something else. It is not this, it is not that, it is something else. But it is. It is something else. But just as in the case of our proposition that God is pure existence, we had to take into account the phenomena from in regard to which we had to posit the pure being. The phenomena are not exactly the pure being, they are those which are in succession. So just as a successive movement requires the positing of a pure existence, just as the conscious being had to be established in opposition to the experience of unconsciousness, and we have to explain that unconsciousness is also a mode of consciousness. And therefore unconscious was reconciled with the conscious being. Even so, there is a phenomenon of pain and pleasure, particularly the phenomenon of grief, which stands out as a kind of direct contradiction to the existence of God. So although logically God being pure existence and pure conscious force, it has got to be concluded that God must be delight. Logically that is inevitable. Yet this question can be raised that if God is really delight, what is the relationship between that delight and this experience of suffering that we have in the world? Provided that there is only nothing but God. If of course you have a theory that God is not the only reality, there is something else than God, then of course this question does not become so stark and so very devastating. But if you maintain that God is only one and there is nothing else than God, that He is conscious being, that He is delight, then the presence of experience of suffering is a direct contradiction of that. And then you can say that if God is delight, then this experience of suffering does not seem to be congruent with it. Therefore, our description of God as delight becomes challengeable. God must not be delight because there is experience of suffering. Suffering exists. And if there is nothing else than God which is only delight, then how can there be suffering at all? Why don't we experience everywhere only delight? Why everything is not Priyam? Why everything is not Madhu? Why there is this suffering in this world? this question has to be answered and answered properly. This is the problem. That is why Sri Aurobindo gives the title, The Problem. If everything is pure existence, conscious being and delight, why is it, how is it that there is suffering in this world? Now there are several answers to this question actually. One answer is to say that there are two origins of the world, not one. God alone does not exist. There is something else and God also exists. So you can say that all that is Priyam is a result of God, all that is Apriyam is a result of an opposite force in the world, which is also original. This is called dualism. A dualism in which God is, as it were, confronted by a Satan, where the good is confronted with the evil. And therefore it is suggested, according to this idea, that the world is nothing but a battle between the good and the evil. And this battle goes on and on and on. And let us see now what happens in this. We can have faith that ultimately good will prevail. Only faith. You cannot be sure because both are equal forces. But against dualism, there is one basic opposition. If both of them exist, in existence they must be common. If both of them exist, they must be both common in existence. So as far as existence is concerned, there must be only one. There can't be two ultimate existence. If two exist, both must be common as far as existence is concerned. Therefore, existence must be one. Later on you may discuss as to how the two are different and so on. But as far as existence is concerned, there must be only one. Therefore, dualistic philosophy is always subject to this criticism. And therefore, dualism is not ultimately sustainable. But dualism can be stated in another form also. It may be argued that God is all delight. God is all good. Sarvam Mangalam. The divine is nothing but Mangalam. But God is not omnipotent. This is another way of describing a dualism. God is good, but not omnipotent. A limited God, good God, but limited. If he is not omnipotent, it means that there is a force over which he has no sway, because he is not omnipotent. So according to this argument, God is good, but not being omnipotent, there is existence of another force, not exactly coincident with God. Therefore there can be something else than God. It's a kind of dualism. God, who is good but not omnipotent, is a concept of a kind of dualism. Because if he is not omnipotent, there is some force which is not part of God. Therefore, there is another reality outside God.